Well, Mama, we've gotten you from being born after the fact that you have four children. Now, let me ask you this. As a child, who was the first president of the United States that you could remember? What are your first recollections about that?
Grover Cleveland. And at that time, there was quite a good deal of friction between the parties. There was a Republican Party and a Democratic Party and a Prohibition Party. It was quite important at that time, although it has since become defunct. But Grover Cleveland was the one I remembered. And my grandfather, Casey, was quite disappointed when my mother married a Methodist minister, because he was a staunch Republican. And she was the apple of his eye, and he had sent her to college. And then when he found that she was going to marry a Methodist minister and a prohibitionist, I can remember he said, "Why, James, I'd walk through whiskey to my knees in order to vote the Republican Party." That was quite of a man he was. So
was he a stockbroker?
Well, he was a capitalist. As far as I know, he had never worked. Now, where he got his first money, I don't know. But he was a man who bought and sold his capital and made it bigger. And he was, of course, the man who left us quite a lot of money. And I always felt sorry for him, because he didn't realize in his daughter. My mother was a very nice-looking woman. She was really quite handsome. And she went to Northwestern University and fell in love with this minister, who was shorter than she was. She was quite tall. And it used to be a joke that they would say in the college, "Well, I saw Miss Casey going along, and I tried to catch up with her, and there was Musgrove walking along beside her." But anyway, they were very happy together. And then, of course, when my father married again, and when he married Miss Cook, she was also taller than he was. And that marriage of my father and Miss Cook, Inez Cook, was a very happy marriage to everybody. I was so delighted to have a stepmother who would take the housekeeping off of my hands. And then she was, in addition to that, she was a dressmaker, and she made my clothes, and she and Daddy were very happy, and it was a very wonderful marriage.
You know, she made Mama's wedding dress,
yes,
practically all by hand, and that's the one I wore.
That's right. Uh-huh.
And
she was
came,
a lovely person.
She came to stay at our house before I got married, so that any alterations that had to be made on the dress, she could make. And part of the dress was missing, the sash. And she couldn't remember what it had looked like, and Mama couldn't remember what it looked like. So Daddy told them.
Is that so? It was sweet peas, I know it had.
Yes, well, it was white satin ribbon,
yes,
and it
ribbon
had
knotted and crawling down.
And then your bouquet was sweet peas, and I carried sweet peas too, but I added some pink camellias.
Yes.
Well, anyway, this isn't about my wedding. It's about you. Well, now, what was life like back there when you were a little girl in the way of conveniences? You imagined you didn't have air conditioning. Well, did you always have an outdoor toilet, and how did you take a bath?
Well, we did not have an outdoor toilet. We had to go to the privy every time we needed to go to the toilet, and we had no bathtub, and so we would heat water on a gasoline stove in the kitchen, and then bring in a wash tub and make enough hot water or warm water in the wash tub so that we could bathe in that wash tub.
Well, did you have a screen or something that you put up around it, or did everybody just leave the room?
Well, the children would bathe first, and there was just Daddy and I left, you see.
Well, I mean when you were a little girl.
Well, by that time, I think we had moved to 301 Riverside Avenue.
No, not when you were a little girl.
Oh. Well, Yes, I'm doing this fine. Remember when we lived there in Boyle Heights, bathtubs were rather new then, and the bathtub had been built into the kitchen. And we took our baths in the bathtub in the kitchen. And everyone stayed out. They knew someone else was taking a bath, and we had an outdoor toilet.
You had to take your baths between meals then, didn't you?
Yes, we did. And then when my mother, in her last illness, my father hired a housekeeper. And she stayed after Mama had died. But I detested her. Somehow, reason I didn't like her at all. She was a member of the Holiness Church. And she was always preaching to us holiness. And so as soon as I could, I got my father to let her go. And I said, I'll keep house for you.
And you're a very strong-minded little girl.
You told your father who you wanted him to marry?
Yes.
You told your father?
Yes. Well, I tell you, I also was awfully offended by any religious piety or anything like that. And that was why I hated Mrs. McKenna so. Her name is Mrs. McKenna. Because she was a holiness person, you know. She was a member of the Holiness Church. And I had been brought up as a Christian under my father's preaching, but I had repudiated all that, and I had become practically a non-believer by that time. After that period passed, Daddy and I never darkened the door of the church for 20 years. We never went to church. We sent two children to Sunday school and thought whatever you appealed to you was all right. But we never taught you anything that we wanted you to believe. But we did try to teach you to be unselfish and considerate of others, of course. But that was all you ever got during that 20 years.
I think this is just about enough for one day, and maybe Mama's voice is getting a little tired. And I've got to take her and get her supper. But I think this is a good beginning, and from time to time, hopefully once a week, we'll get together and at least tape 30 minutes.
Yes.
And see, one of these tapes, each side is 30 minutes.
Oh, is that so?
And so that's just what we'll do, and thank you, Mama. And you, in the middle of the night, if you think of something, why, remember to write it down in
yes.
the morning.
Well, I'm making a list of things now on my tablet that I want to include in these memoirs, but I've forgotten them since I've been sitting here, but I'll look them over. And
well, I think this beginning, just like Merrily said, goes to show that you've still got all your faculties.
That's right. That will show that, won't it?
In fact, Merrily had a good idea. She said that we all, not you, but myself and my children, ought to go together and get a tape recorder for the Cedar Lofts and let them tape something, too, because that's the other side of our family.
That's
and
right.
If anybody else wanted to do it, fine. That would be nice that they could do on their side of the family.
Yes, that's
because we might as well take advantage of all these modern inventions.
I feel so, too. I think that's worthwhile doing. And then,
so we'll sign off now. The first installment of the memoirs of Julia Ethel Musgrove Glasscock, who at this point is 92, almost 93 years old.
All right, this is April 11th, 1974, and Grandma's here again to give us another installment of her life. So I'll turn the tape over to her.
There are two things I think I have missed saying so far which might be of interest. One is the fact that Richard, when he was a real young boy,